We got one entertainer. We got one too many. I like people. That's just what they are. We got nobody to impress nobody. I think one thing maybe that God hates on the top of the list of the seven that He does, and that's pride. God can use failures, but He can't use pride. God can use and does use blunders, but He's never used pride. He's a God, doesn't sing to it. And He's going to get all the credit, or He ain't going to be a part of it. One of our preacher boys, and I don't use that lightly, one of our preacher boys out of the church, things have got that hard, like what they're talking about. And I didn't know it, or it wouldn't have got that hard. Maybe that's why God didn't let me find out about it. Because I'd sold a pew for one of my preacher boys went hungry. We would have had one yard sale. We wouldn't have had it on this property, but I'd have took one somewhere and sold it. He said we didn't have nothing to eat. Nothing. I said, "Well, son, I'm sorry I didn't know about it." He said, "You didn't need to know about it." He said, "The one that mattered knowed about it." He said, "Somebody come by." He said, "We've just been praying. Ain't you glad we got a God that'll listen?" So they filled our table full of sacks. You ever notice He's always a God right on time? Sometimes I get nervous. I use the word and I don't use it lightly, but He's never let me down. He's hurt me, but He's never harmed me. And the God of this Bible will let things hurt. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I'm glad He's a-working when we ain't a-looking. You got a Bible this morning. You turn with us, we'll stand with honor and to read the Word of God found in the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Deal one verse this morning. Verse number 20. Paul's writing probably the most profound book in the Bible beside the Gospel of John. He says, Romans chapter number 5, verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Father, we love You today. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for the Spirit of God. Lord, I can do nothing in myself today. Lord, Peter said, I go fishing. I'm tired of myself. I sure wish you'd do something big here today. I wish you'd reach in the depths of hearts. You'd draw them by your amazing grace. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Romans said the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want to preach on law and grace this morning. I need you to understand a few things before we're done with this sermon. I want you to understand, first of all, about the duty of the law. Why was the law given? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, if you turn to the left, you'll see in Romans 3 and verse number 19, it's amazing what Brother Randy taught on this morning. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. There's the duty of the law. God gave us the law that sin may be magnified. Now, whether you know anything about the law or not, God's put a law written in man's heart, according to Romans 1, the law of the conscience. But He gave us the writing of the Word of the law from Mount Sinai, gave it to Moses, that sin may be magnified. In other words, what I mean, that we may realize just how ugly sin is and how much sin is in us. You know, the more light a man gets, the more I think that a man will give an account for judgment day. He said, walk in the light while you have light, lest darkness suddenly find you. It'd be bad to ride a pew in a Baptist church right on into hell where a lot of people's riding them this morning. But we find the duty of the law. We see that it was given that the whole world would become guilty before God. And as Brother Roger had said, you're not going to stand before Him. You're going to stand before Him. Hey, I got news for the Catholic Church, honey. You ain't going to stand before the Pope either. But He said that the world would become guilty before God. You see, the duty of the law, it brings guiltiness to sinfulness. Now, there's the duty of the law. Paul said in Romans 7 and verse number 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I'd not known sin but by the law. In other words, he thought he was doing pretty good. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one of the most religious men ever come down the Damascus Road. He said, I was doing good. I read the law. He said, man, I was doing good in my life. But something messed it all up. I got light on the law. He said, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrote in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Other words, he said, I was doing good. But when I really seen the law of God, he said, something in me raised up. And he said, I died to that old flesh. I realized I can't do it. Isn't it amazing the nature in us how that when Paul is writing here, he said that
When the commandment came, sin revived. In other words, sin got up in me. You ever notice this? Driving a car, you see the speed limit sign, 45. You know what my nature wants to do? How far can I get past without getting a ticket? Now, I know some of you ain't geared that way, but I am. When I see the law, something in me rears up, wanting to know how far I can get across there. Paul said, I didn't know nothing about sin till I seen the law. Now, I guarantee you, they some of us here, if I put a wall, Brother Jason, he's a painter by profession, and we put a sign, wet paint, on this wall, there'd be some Baptists. Oh, well, that's wet. We can put over yonder, don't walk on the grass. That'll last about a half a song. Well, that's why we got grass, so you can cut across and ain't got to walk around the track. Paul said, I was doing good, but the duty of the law, it showed me just really what was in me. That's why some of you will never get saved. You're waiting until you can live it. And honey, you'll die and go to hell in your sins before you can live what God wrote down. See, that's one of the biggest problems. That's where people are so naive about salvation and the grace of God. You think you got to do something and live something. That comes after. Matter of fact, Paul said, I was doing good till I seen this sin, this law, and it made sin raise up in me. We've all got the nature to do bad instead of good. And I don't care what you think about them little young'uns you got. Take some wisdom from this older preacher this morning. Don't never say mine won't. Because it's in them to do it. You know why? They come from you. That's why they apt to do wrong. Now watch this. He said, now, I was alive without the law once. I was doing good. Man, I was a good person. But he said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, you won't have to go there, but you may be interested. So like what Brother Roger said, we all know the first verse, but we didn't know the second. But mark this in your Bible where these commandments are, what God's talking about, in Exodus chapter number 20. And if you want to simplify things, I want you to take a pencil or a pen if you write in your Bible. And it's okay to write things down because you'll need it later. I'm going to show you these 10 briefly and just a quick overview, and you can write 1 and circle it and 2 and circle it, and we're going to go to 10. Paul said, now when I seen this, I realized I wasn't there yet. Watch it. Exodus 20 and verse number 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's number 1 in verse 3. That's number 1. He ain't taking back seat to nobody. If you got a bumper sticker on your car that said, God's my co-pilot, you ought to get that trash off there because you're way out of your Bible this morning. He ain't nobody's co-pilot. He's large and He's in charge. And He ain't taking back seat to you nor me, friend. He's God Almighty. Now, thou shalt not have no other gods for it. Number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. That's number 2 by verse 4. You'll notice in 5, he says, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Watch this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, them that hate me. You say, leave me alone, preacher. I'm just bothering myself. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. If you're not going to live for God, base 4 generations coming on behind you that's going to suffer because you didn't want to do what this book said. Now watch this. Here's number 3 at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That ain't changed. Watch you cussing. You ought to not use anything in day-to-day language that you wouldn't dismiss prayer in church. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I seen a man got hit on one time. I was on a Pepsi route. The impact was so hard, the windshield flew out, and God is my witness, it looked like it went high as that steeple out yonder and hit the ground. When I got to him, the first words he said, that come out of his mouth, I said, sir, I'd be praising him instead of cussing him. Verse 8. You can put 4 there. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Look in 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all your work. Quit blaming work on missing stuff. I know things come up. But we have options many times. God wants you to honor His day. Now it's Sunday. It's not the Sabbath. Why is it Sunday? Because Jesus got up out of the grave on Sunday. In John chapter number 20, 21, He come to the disciples in the upper room on the first day of the week. They was gathered together. There's that pattern all through the New Testament church. Now we go to church on the first day of the week. It's the Lord's day. And it ought to be a big day in your life. It ought to be the best day of the week in your life where we can come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. It's okay to play golf. I love it. It's okay to hunt and fish. Nobody here loves them 3 things. No better than I do. But Sunday is the Lord's day. Do your fishing after church. Some of you lay out. You go to calling the game warden instead of your preacher. He knows you more than your preacher knows you. Get quiet. Now, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 8 is 4. Verse 12 is 5. Listen, young'uns, look up here. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 13 is 6. Thou shalt not kill. Number 7 is by 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 15. Thou shalt not steal is 8. 9 is by 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 10 is by 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Now there's the giving of the law. The duty of the law. Paul said this. He said, I was doing good till I seen the law and sin revived in me. Now what's he saying? All right, watch this now. Go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Verse number 16. And behold, one came said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Good question, is it not? He said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. And he is talking to him. And that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. He saith unto him, a logic question. You got a question mark in your Bible. Which? I want to know. Jesus said, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Shall not steal. Shall not bear false witness. Honor thy father, thy mother. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Young man said to him, I got all this handled. Because all these things I kept my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said to him, boy, he's the greatest preacher ever lived. Are you talking about a man have your male neighbor? You let Jesus be your pastor. This is what he said. If thou wilt be perfect, go sell that thou hast, give the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowing, for he had great possession. Then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. All right, preacher, where are you going with that? Well, did you notice that Jesus did not mention one of the last commandments, which is the last, and that I read to you? He did not read, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, nor his ox or ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Covet simply means to desire, to delight in, or to lust. In other words, this boy thought he was doing pretty good till he seen the law. What's the duty of the law? Nothing's wrong with the law. It's perfect. Matter of fact, it's holy. Takes me to the look in Romans 7, verse number 12. Not only the duty of the law, but there are demands of the law. Romans 7. Then you'll find this, verse number 12. Paul says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. You know why they don't want it in the White House? You know why they don't want it in the legislation? Because when they walk by and seize it, they got a Paul issue. Sin revives. You know why people leave this church when I get on their sin? It ain't the preacher. It's the book. So they'll go ease into some little snake den where nobody's a preaching nothing, where the conscience ain't bothered. Oh my God, boy, you done a preaching down in Bowden this morning. Amen, hallelujah. Let me ask you something. Why would we want to drive and waste gas money? How has this got to a place that didn't have preaching? When you come to church and you don't leave no different how you come in, you ain't been to church. I didn't write this. I just read it. The design, it's holy. We're unholy. I was ugly to my wife yesterday. I know none of y'all never have that issue. But, Brother Driver, I wanted to have the last word last night, so I said, I'm sorry. Some of y'all get that after a while. But this is what I've done, Brother Randall. You can go ask her at service. I went in, woke her up, and I hugged her, and I kissed her. I said, hon, I'm sorry. I had no intention of acting like that again before yesterday. I've purposed to try to do better than this smart mouth I got. Some of y'all got the same issue. That's what I said, Brother Adam. I said, honey, I had no intention before yesterday to never do that again. Listen to me. I'm 52 years old. I feel like I'm older than that. I'm fixing to start going with the seniors on the bus. Listen to me, I've been married 33 years. Life's short. And I've said things to my wife I wished I could take back. But Brother Lee, it's like shooting a gun, friend. When you done shot it, it's gone. I've said things to my young'uns I wished I hadn't said. I'm trying to learn
The older I get, Brother Michael. But it's something in me that when I got saved, it didn't all go away. It's called flesh. This stuff gives me issues. I know some of y'all have arrived, and I know there are different degrees of sanctification. I'm not preaching on condoning doing wrong. I'm simply preaching a saved woman and man and boy and girl has got issues with the law. Now, there's the giving of the law. We find that it had a great responsibility. It had a great duty. And then the demands of the law. The law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. If you'll live by these principles, you'll do good in life. But there's an issue. We can't live all of them. Takes me to my third point. The law and its duty, the law and its demands, it's holy, it's perfect. Nothing's wrong with the law. It's what's wrong with us. Now, I want to help you, Christians. This really helps me when I mess up. And I'm not talking about being stupid. You hear me? I'm not talking about laying out in the highway and saying, now, tractor, trailer, truck, I bet you don't run over me. God's give us a little sense. And He's give us a lot of kindness. But I want to help you, Christian. In Romans 7:15, look what one of the greatest Christians that followed Christ said. This helps me in my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've got issues that I fight in this flesh. And I know I'm not where I ought to be. I started to say could be, but that'd be a lie because I'm trying. But thank God I ain't where I used to be. Sin bothers me now. It used to didn't bother me. Now what? For that which I do, I allow not. And for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I didn't mean to be ugly to my wife. Then I do that which I would not. I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. A saved man wrote that. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Because he says, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 24, O wretched man, not that you are, but I am. There's the law and its duty, the law and its demands. But Romans 5:20, law and its demising. You know why God, He gave us the law? It was a big test. And listen, He ain't looking for A students, neighbor. He's looking for big, fat F's. Failures. He said this, the demising, Romans 5:20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. That the offense might abound. In other words, that it would show me that the offenses of God have been offensive to God's law, that it would get big in me and realize I'm in trouble. I'm guilty. Hey, look up here. Everybody here is guilty before God without Jesus Christ. Quit trying to live by the law. You're not going to live by the law. You can't do it. They're great principles. They ought to be in our schoolhouse. But ain't nobody going to heaven by the law. The demising. He said,
the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, I got the law and I seen how bad I was. That's the reason some of you ain't got saved. You don't see how bad you are in the eyes of God. Good people's the hardest people to get saved. And there was only one good person. He died on the cross. But some of you think just cause you're not out there stealing, some of you think just cause you ain't thinking wicked things and doing wicked things, you going to heaven just cause you're doing good, honey. The law has declared us all guilty before God.
But I'm not finished with the sermon.
The law and its demise. In Galatians, turn to the right in your Bible, Galatians 3 and 21. Look what Paul says. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now underline this and get there, Galatians 3:21. A work-based religion is heresy. You hear me? If a man's telling you you got to do something and belong to something, they're telling lies. That's a work-based salvation. Being baptized is works. A man ought to be baptized after he's saved. Water don't save. Joining the church don't save you. Handing out Bible tracts don't save you. Giving your money to Christ don't save you. Is the law, watch this, Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That word all, you're under there. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now watch. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified not by the law but by faith. Hey, you know what you ought to do? Some of you ought to quit worrying about it. It's 5 after 12. And you ought to be saying, I'm glad that preacher's preaching that for me today to let me know how to go to heaven and get out of hell. You ought to thank God He's let you walk up in here this morning that a man will take a King James Bible and tell you what thus saith the Word of God. You ain't going to heaven by your works. And you better wake up. You die without Christ, hell will be your home. He says this, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now that's the law. Thank God for grace. In the text, Romans 5, verse number 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He said, I don't care how much the law has raised that dirty sin up in your life. I've done something to trump it. A lot of y'all play rook. Let me tell you, he said, the 14s are good. It'll catch most everything. But he said, there's a red one. See, Tennessee rook, red one, catches the bird. Amen, Brother Chuck. Y'all looking like, what? See, it was only one red. And he's above everything. The red one. My Lord, I may get to preach that again somewhere. Now, why the Bible say, when sin abounded, grace did much more abound? It trumped it. Why are you going to die and go to hell trying to live by the law? Let me tell you something. You've heard it. Matter of fact, you're gospel hardened. you've heard so much it don't affect you. No, let me tell you something. God don't take lightly what He put on that cross. He put His Son. He didn't spill His blood. He shed His blood. Just like the Sunday school teacher said this morning, Calvary was no accident. It was divine providence for law-abiding citizens. Thank God for the blood. You ought to quit preaching the blood, preacher. You ought to get out of here. Take your little liberal self and get saved somewhere, what you need. You need you a good dose of God. Paul said, I want to do good, but I can't find it in me. Sometimes I don't want to do the things I do. They're singing, sisters sang a while ago, God just talking about, well, what a love of God. What love of God that draws us and compels us to live right and to love Him and serve Him. I don't pay my tithes because the law. I pay because I love my God. I don't witness because it's the law. I witness because I want others to know my God. It's sovereign grace. What is grace? It's simply it's God's love. Simply God's love. He wants to do something for you. You can't do for yourself. Titus 1 and 4, it's sovereign grace. Oh, I sure am glad that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Titus 1, 4. But you notice this verse that it is sovereign grace. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I simply mean that it comes from one place, not from the Baptist church. And I are a Baptist. It don't come out of a baptismal pool. Titus 1 and 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grace, sovereign grace, seeking grace. Romans 3, 9 through 11. I want you to read this right here, seeking grace. I'm closing. Romans 3, 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. We've all before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. But you better be glad His grace has come looking for you. It's sovereign grace. It's seeking grace. Ephesians 2 and 8, Brother Jake Honey, it's saving grace. Brother Dwayne, you men will agree with your preacher this morning. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, it's very simple. It's saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Brother Randy made a profound statement this morning in Sunday school. The turtle doves was for the lowest person that couldn't afford a sacrifice. The bullocks was for the mightiest and the greatest. But God said grace is making it all level on the playing field. I'll just do it all for you. And He simply said this in that saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Sovereign grace, seeking grace, saving grace, it's securing grace. Look in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, or you're brought to Him. There is the securing grace. I'm glad what God does, He does forever. And then Titus 1 and 4, last place I go, I'm going to ask this family if they'd come back, if they'd sing a song this morning. Titus 1 and 4, I want to say just a few more things if y'all would come on and get ready. To Titus, mine own son, look what he says. After the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Satisfying grace. He said that grace brings mercy and peace. Preacher, sum it all up for me. I sure will. I'll be glad to. This is perfect. This holy. All man's become guilty because of it. I don't want to say there's good people here. It's just some morally better than others. Is that okay? Is that understandable? Because there's none good. We're all sold under sin. We're all. This has made us all sin. Paul said, I was doing good. I read it. He said, man, I realize I couldn't live it. You say, preacher, I'm going to wait till I live it. You know what you're going to do? You're going to die and go to hell in your sin. But we're saved by grace through faith. What's that, preacher? God knows you can't live it. So He sent His Son. He shed His blood. It had to have a blood sacrifice to please God. Y'all been watching the Bible story the man's put together? I wanted to mention that. Many of you seen that? Any of you seen that? I want to see your hand. The new Bible story on Tillman. They had a passage there the other night. I caught it where Brother Gerald had got that old basin of blood and that old brush, and there's a painting their doorpost over because God done said, I'm fixing to come over and I'm going to take the first male child out of every family where I don't see the blood. And them Israelites in bondage, you know what they was doing, Brother Lee? There's a painting every doorpost there. There's just a smear in that blood everywhere. And something dawned on me that I never thought about. Then they realized all the sorrow of all the babies that died that night. And some were grown men my age and your age, the firstborn. They died. You know why? Because the blood wouldn't apply. Now, this is grace. He said He's given every man the measure of faith. You know what that tells me? He's not willing any perish, but all would come to repent. He's given you enough to be saved in you. The light of conscience. He's put a conscience in you. It can be seared. I know you can't trust your conscience. But I'm telling you this, God put a conscience in us, calls it the light of conscience and the light of creation. We can look around and realize there's a God. And in us, there are no atheists. There's no atheist. Why is it when they die, they cry, my God? He put His Son on a cross because I couldn't live by the law. He thought a lot of me. The law's perfect. It's holy. And He took His Son and He put Him on a cross and He blacked the sky out. You know what He is doing, Brother Michael? Brother, you know what He is doing, Brother Gerald? He was taking every sin me and you would do.
And he laid it all on his son. And he died. And he said, now all that come to my son has eternal life. As many as received him, to them would you receive Christ this morning? You say, I'm not guilty. You've not heard the sermon. I said, we're all guilty. But He's paid the price. He threw the last thing on the table and said, this trumps it all. But you've got to receive it for yourself. I don't care if your daddy's a preacher. I don't care if your wife's saved. I don't care. It's an individual thing. You've got to come to Christ yourself, realizing that you are a sinner, guilty before the law, but you're willing to accept grace, what He's given to you. But you've got to receive it. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith accesses grace. Now I want to ask you this. They're fixing to sing. This altar. Some of you here, you've never been saved. You know what you ought to do this morning? I think this may help you. You ought to go to somebody that you know is saved. And you ought to say, go to the altar with me. I want to be saved, and pray with me. That's what you ought to do. You ought to get out of your seat and you ought to go to somebody that you know is saved, and you ought to grab them and say, I want the Lord to save me this morning, but would you go down there with me? I'm not talking about tricks and gimmicks. I'm talking about, are you tired of being tired? Are you tired of being lost? Do you want to be saved? Then come, because He said all would come. He would in no wise cast. I don't care what you've done. Don't care what you've done. Grace abounded much more. Come and accept His grace as this family sings. You come. This altar's open.